Welcome to a special live in Studio A edition of Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Outstanding live music is one of the many artistic offerings available to us throughout the Piedmont Triad on just about a daily basis, plus the quality and variety of music being presented here, from classical to jazz and bluegrass to indie rock, is something you might expect in a large city. Thankfully for us, we can enjoy world-class musicians doing what they do best live in concert with no traffic jams, reasonable ticket prices, and plenty of convenient parking. Keeping track of all the bands, musicians, festivals, and venues here can be a full-time job, though, and that's exactly where our special edition of Triad Arts Weekend comes in handy. On today's show, we'll sample from a potpourri of award-winning singer-songwriters, composers, and bands, so the next time they're in town, you'll be right in the know. The Darnell Woodies, MC Taylor, Laura Lynn Dossett, Ken Frizzell, and Janice 414 are coming up next, live on Triad Arts Weekend. The Darnell Woodies are up first, and boy, are we going to have some fun. Live in Studio A. So what do you like? Is it bluegrass, punk, rock, jazz, blues? Well, if you answered yes to any of those questions, you've got at least a little entree into the unique sound that is Darnell Woodies. Fiddler Brian Gallimore, guitarist, singer-songwriter Matt Smith, Brad Kokendolfer on banjo, mandolin, and some other neat stuff, William von Reichbauer, bassist, and on drums, the Reverend Doug Hawkins. They visited us in July of 2012 to kick off the release of their CD, Dancing on Your Grave. The official release party took place at a great Winston-Salem venue called The Garage, and you'll find links on our website at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. But the official pre-party took place live right here in Studio A. Matt, Brian, was this mix of punk and bluegrass the intention going into Darnell Woodies, or did it just happen? And if so, how? I'm hearing those sounds among many others, but those are that chord for me that I really appreciate as a listener.
It just kind of happened. I guess it was probably about 10 years ago. I kind of got out of show business and started learning different instruments and things like that, and took lessons from Brian eventually, and we sort of shared an interest in in old time fiddle music, banjo and things like that. And just maybe about a year later, we started playing, just old-time songs and things like that, and started writing stuff together, went through a couple different lineup changes, and it just sort of evolved from, I come from a punk rock background in the 80s, and, and he had some of that in his history, and so it just sort of evolved.
And Brian, tell me about your history, too, because, I mean, you can't play fiddle that way unless it's in your blood somehow. Talk about your connection with the music.
Oh, well, I have a long family history of traditional musicians. Most of them were dead way before I was born, so I really couldn't tell you if they were really great or really bad. But my grandfather, he was a big influence on my life, and he played a baritone ukulele, which is like a guitar without the bass strings. And, it's kind of cool to see him because it's easy to get pigeonholed as a traditional musician. I only play this genre of music. I'm a bluegrass player and an old-time fiddle player. But you get around someone like my grandfather who really came of age in the 1950s, and, he would go play square dances, and then he would also listen to rock and roll with his friends, and he would listen to blues and stuff. And he just played what came natural to him. And, I grew up, I played a lot of punk rock. I played electric guitar, tried to play heavy metal, but wasn't really good enough. And, got into fiddle, got into banjo. I messed around with classical music for a while, really hated it. And it just became something I did, instead of just having, I only play Surrey County fiddle tunes. I love those tunes, and I love Cajun music. But what I grew up playing, the songs I grew up trying to make when I was younger, just kind of all culminated together. It's just a lot of fun. It just feels right.
Man, it feels right for this area because, if you got a pair of ears and you hang out in the Piedmont Triad long enough, you're going to hear great blues that goes back a century and great jazz that started off way back when. And
playing this stuff when Brian's playing for it almost sounds like speed metal, especially like 20 paces. I mean, it's with acoustic instruments, but it's nasty. It's good stuff.
we just heard from Doug Hawkins, the drummer, and keeping it all together and making that sweet pocket is your stick work there. Doug, talk about your philosophy of drumming as it is. I mean, it seems like from my listening, you're just setting a great pocket.
Get some. I mean, play what's right for the song, but play with your heart, play with your gut.
Yeah. So what's happening here? What are we hearing first off the bat for Jezebella? Brad?
Well, it's Brian and me. I'm playing mandolin, and Brian's got the clawhammer banjo. And you know, we're just trying to, like Doug said, play what's right for the tune. Brian takes that lead lick, and I just try to compliment him and back him up there and add a little harmony behind it.
All right. And we'll hear some great bass, too, on this one. William, where are you driving the tune like this? What's the feel like, and what are you trying to accomplish for Jezebella in this tune?
For this tune, Jezebella, it's pretty simple. You know, we start off with kind of these soaring banjo and mandolin lines, and I tried to complement that a little bit in the beginning with kind of a higher register in the bass, and then it's just driving the bus. You know, it's plowing through. I try to fill out the texture and just make it happen, make it go, and fill in a little bit here and there when appropriate. But
all right. Well, let's drive the bus and get it going over there in Studio A. This is Jezebella, the Darnell Woodies, and the tune was written by Matt Smith, guitar and vocals.
1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I fell down and I went by the water, and I'd seen old beauties fade. Far beneath this loaded gun and the holy mess I made. Well, I spoke myself to oblivion. I watched your house burn down. Well, I wouldn't change the way I feel, so they ran me out of town. Jezebella, welcome back from where you came. Jezebella, oh, remember well my name. Sometimes I wake up laughing, and I put my fist to the wall. While the walls close in on desperate men, it don't bother me at all. Jezebella, hold me back from where you came. Jezebella, oh, remember well my name. Wake up, it's cold outside as the blood ran from your vein. In the tired light, we kiss goodnight, and it's a low-down, dirty shame. Jezebella, hold back from where you came. Jezebella, oh, remember well my name.
Jezebella. That's the Darnell Woodies live in Studio A. And man, I love that tune. It just bops along. And I call that a road trip tune. I could put that on and listen to it and cross the country with that on my car stereo. One of the things that I love so much about your all's music, and Matt, I'll throw it your way since this is your tune, is the lyrical content. Keeping it simple, but finding a phrase that resonates with, it's got to resonate with just about everyone listening. And one of my favorites is early on, sometimes I wake up laughing and I put my fist through the wall. I mean, we've all been to the polar extremes of that, but does it come through diaries? Or is it just a thought that pops in head? Or how did it come about in the context of this tune?
Well, I sort of think of the whole thing like sort of an emotion. You know, the song is just dark, there's death in there, there's, you know, addiction and things like that. And so I try and put the lines together so there's sort of some insanity in that, laughing, anger, And then I just, you know, write it down, and then I'll mess with it for a month and just keep changing little things here and there. And, you know, and like you said, a song like that, just trying to keep it real simple, you know, without any metaphors and things like that.
The simpler the better in terms of me being able to relate to it, but I also appreciate that to get that simple and pare it down is really hard.
That's true. It's hard for me because I, you know, tend to write sort of, I guess, sort of surreal kind of lines and, you know, and put it over the traditional kind of punk rock music. And with that one, I sort of tried to avoid that as much as possible and just get right to the point.
You know? You get right to the point. Another one of my favorites, which was Dana, and the line, don't want to be the one to lose you or the one to make you cry. I mean, it's just raw honesty, but those are the two poles. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right to the meat. And it's a busy brushwork there, a busy stick work there. As always, nice and crisp and hopping right along. What's the best part of playing this band?
I really like the songwriting myself. I tend to listen to stuff like that. Matt, can't remember the name of the tune off the top of my head. That line that I'm studying the mirror and murder in my eyes, that's a great line.
I can't remember the name of the song either.
Mother God and Country.
I'm studying the mirror with murder in my eyes.
Yeah, I'd like to think some people have all been there. But best thing is just, I don't know, you can play fast and heavy. Don't have to make any apologies. That's what I like about it. Don't always get to do that in some other musical situations, so it's nice to get to do that in this one.
I bet. Talking about fighting words, coming up with the next tune, Take My Gun Away. Is this another Matt original?
Yeah.
Set the scene for us on this tune, because pretty explosive stuff.
The title, you know, it's not really a gun control kind of thing. It's just sort of, sort of a metaphor for, I guess it could be, just sort of about anger and releasing anger, you know, in a blasting fashion. And also it's doom, destruction, addiction, and death are in there as well, like most of the songs. Yeah. But it's also, you know, got some pretty chords. And, you know, I don't know, it's one of those that I just sort of sat around for probably a month or two and just wrote out different things and to try to get an emotion in the verses that was sort of cohesive and had a beginning, you know, and a middle and an end. And then Brian's solo in it, you know, when he started playing that, it was just like it lifts a lot and sort of provides, you know, even more tension and I guess sort of, you know, drama without being, you know, over the top, I guess.
Some great fiddle playing, and we're all going to be able to experience it live and up close and in person here in Studio A. Can we grab our axes and get back in there? So this is the Darnell Woodies, and we're going to hear Take My Gun Away. Another tune here by Matt Smith, guitar and vocals. Is Brian Gallimore's fiddle, big solo up front and in the middle, and Brad Kokendolfer playing mandolin, William von Reichbauer on bass, and Reverend Doug Hawkins on drums.
Short hand with a rusty copper nail. You swagger just like Judas, while they threw you from a rail. Got frosty leaves through winter and it's coming right at you. This track's a long tape and I believe I'm slipping through. I turned my head from somber sky and I kiss the ground. The dead leaves lie, oh, it's no word one. It ain't nothing you've done. Take my gun away, oh, I hurt someone. Love led me to a thicket where I fell down at her feet. We're heading down a river where regret and reason meet. I'm sick and green within a dream of death and death alone. Well, I told you for the last time you gon' miss me when I'm gone. I turn my head to somber sky and I kiss the ground. The dead leaves lie, oh, when things get too heavy, you can't always run. Take my gun away. I hurt someone. Red on a bed pure as white. My eyes were dark and blurry, and my face were bald and black. Chanting notes with the magistrate's mouth, which is love. So I blood flow through the barrel, sweet and red, don't get stuck. I turned my head to the somber sky, and I kissed the ground. The dead leaves lie, oh, you said you're not guilty, but I know you're the one. Take my gun away, oh, I hurt someone.
Man, I mean, that is, it's a great fiddle tune in so many ways. I mean, it's great lyrically, and there's a whole lot there besides that, anger management on steroids, but a great fiddle tune at essence if you love fiddle. Brian Gallimore, fiddle, Matt Smith, guitar and vocals, Brad Kokendolfer on mandolin on that tune, William von Reichbauer on bass, and Reverend Doug Hawkins playing drums. We heard Take My Gun Away from the Darnell Woodies, their new CD, Dancing on Your Grave. And we heard some burning fiddle. Brian, I mean, it sounded awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, what are you trying to do with that solo?
Stir the gravy, basically. No, seriously, you know, playing fiddle for me is always less is more. And, you know, violin is definitely an instrument that you can add. You can play a million notes, and you can see these longbow fiddle players. And my bow strokes are really short. They're really hard. A lot of squeaking, a lot of squawking, a lot of rosin flying everywhere. But, you know, I just try to keep it simple, you know, and I hate to be that person that always brings up that concept of you got to keep it simple. But that's the only way I know how to play. It's really simple. It's really elemental. But people like it. You know, I like it. My wife used to not like it. And then she kind of got accustomed to it, you know, because it was hard the first couple of years I started playing fiddle. You know, it was pretty rough. And laying in bed a lot, trying to learn how to stir that gravy. You know, it doesn't come natural to people. And I finally have gotten a hang on it, so it's just trying to keep it simple.
Yeah, and it's really, above all, this tune, it's a beautiful, simple homage to Boy George, which I really appreciate there. The line, I, you're going to miss me when I'm gone, I think that's just wonderful. It's always throwing him in. My thanks to the Darnell Woodies. They are fiddler Brian Gallimore, guitarist, singer-songwriter Matt Smith, Brad Kokendolfer on banjo and mandolin, William von Reichbauer on the upright bass, and the Reverend Doug Hawkins on drums. They dropped by back in July of 2012 to kick off the official release of their CD, Dancing on Your Grave. The official party took place at the Garage in Winston-Salem, and you'll find links to that well-known venue along with the Woodies' complete performance calendar at WFDD.org, and just click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Glad to be along with you on this special live in Studio A edition of Triad Arts Weekend. July 2012 was a hot summer music-wise in Winston-Salem with the Crossroads concert series in full gear. Patterson Hood and the Downtown Rumblers headlined their July concert at the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art. Opening for the Rumblers was His Golden Messenger, led by Mr. MC Taylor. MC's one of the finest songwriters in America today. The band's fourth release, titled Poor Moon, was given a nod by none other than David Bowie, who called it, quote, mystical country, like an eerie yellowing photograph. Next, it's time to sample from Poor Moon and talk about it with singer-songwriter MC Taylor. He joined me live in Studio A.
You got the feeling to get lucky.
Just some things that grab me. When my ship comes in, I'm going to lose control. I'm not going to dance till my ship comes in. But what's your ship coming in that case?
I'm not sure. It could be anything. It could be good tidings and good fortune. Or it could be the catastrophe that I've been waiting for. It could be something final that has yet to arrive, but I know is imminent. I mean, it's a song about uncertainness and insecurity, I think. And it's a kind of reckoning with this kind of force, maybe, that is, I understand to be bigger than myself, but that's all I understand so far.
Does the birth of your son come into play in this song at all?
I think that my son's name is Elijah. He's almost 3 and a half. His arrival influenced all of Poor Moon, certainly, because all of a sudden I was concerned with a whole different set of worries or situations. It's been wonderful. I love him so much. And he changed my life for the better. And so I suspect his arrival is one of the reasons why this set of songs, and certainly the songs that we've recorded since Poor Moon, because we've recorded another record, are really sort of thorny set of issues or thoughts about how we can't be sure of anything. Nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah, of mortality. And then the inherent good in a little person like that, that don't see any other way.
Oh, yeah. It's really beautiful.
Well, let's hear a little bit of, if we can, Call Him Daylight.
Sure.
And thanks for bringing your guitar to Studio A
here. You're welcome.
Hey there, big as night, think I'll call him daylight. And I'll call him once with a little song. Oh, he's got nothing on, comes naked with the dawn. And I know that I will call him daylight. Knock once and now knock twice, a sacrifice to the one that they call daylight. In my own fed, been a long time coming. I called all night and I was afraid. You come at such a time as you see fit, no compromise. That's why I call you daylight. Well, I'm moving nevermore. What children go, some call you destroyer, some daylight. And I'm not gonna dance, well, I'm not gonna dance, well, I'm not gonna dance until my ship comes in. But when my ship comes in, whoa, when my ship comes in, whoa, when my ship comes in, I'm gonna lose control.
Enjoy this tune. And we just heard a gorgeous, just you and your guitar arrangement of this. And I enjoyed the studio recording with your band, His Golden Messenger, just that driving bass line, much like the Blue Country Mystic. And just talk about creating a great groove.
Well, I have what I consider to be the greatest rhythm section in the Southeast. Scott Hirsch, who plays the bass on the Golden Messenger records, is someone that I've been working with for 20 years, since we were kids, pretty much. We grew up in a tour van together, so he's very good at reading me and my musical thoughts with very few words. Our musical influences are in sync. We're often listening to the same records without talking about it. He lives in Brooklyn now. I live in Durham. But he flies down a lot, and we do a lot of recording together. And our drummer, Terry Lonergan, who actually lived in Winston for ages, lives in Durham now, and he's just an absolutely phenomenal drummer. I mean, he's sort of steeped in that style of Southern American drumming that I just love, and I almost feel like you have to be from the South to be able to do it.
Well, I'm not gonna dance until my ship comes in. When my ship comes in, when my ship comes in, when my ship comes in, I'm gonna lose.
What does that do to you, MC, the performer, when you're up on stage and you know you're surrounded with these guys that you've been playing with for years, in terms of the feeling, the confidence, or just the state of mind?
It's helpful for me as a musician because it allows me to focus only on my parts. I don't have to think about what anyone else is doing. I know that they've got my back, so to speak. It's very liberating.
Jesus shot me in the head. My initial thought was an interesting way of saying an epiphany, or, you know, a born-again moment.
That's what it's a play on.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear, you know, you hear this. People are often talking about their conversions, their rebirths in this heightened language that I sometimes find a little silly. At the same time, I have complete respect for people that experience a rebirth in that way. That's wonderful.
Sure. This is Jesus Shot Me in the Head, and MC's playing right here live in Studio A.
I'm bound for Nazareth town with all those mistakes I made. God is good and it's understood, but he moves in mysterious ways. He sought on my father, our woman rough and ruddy face. In fact, I was getting wrecked in a Motel 6 when he showed up in the bath. So goodbye, sweet Genevieve. Now goodbye, my Tulsa friend. Oh, hey, everybody, did you hear the news? Jesus shot me in the head. Just as well I was gone to hell. Oh, I'd wasted everything. Oh, no more shooting pool, no getting drunk. No, no, I'm gonna see the king. Now I'm on the road again. Yes, I'm on the road again. No more rolling down that wicked track. Well, I'm gone to see the king. Oh, Lord, I need a hand. Oh, Lord, I need a hand. So don't be late at those pearly gates. Come on and spend some time in Jerusalem, where I tried my best to behave. And I told the town how they cut him down, and he rose up from the grave. Would you believe they laughed at me? No, they would not leave me be. But next thing I know, I was skipping stones on the Sea of Galilee. Now I'm on the road again. Yes, I'm on the road again. No more rolling down that wicked track. Well, I'm gone to see the King. Oh Lord, I need a hand. Oh Lord, I need a hand. Don't be late at those pearly gates. Come on and let me in. When the chosen one, he calls on us and thanks. Loves us all, but the ones who fall hold a special place in his ranks. At least I hope this is how it goes, cause I'm just about out of bed. Also, everybody, did you hear the news? Jesus shot me in the head. I'm on the road again. Yes, I'm on the road again. No more rolling down that wicked track. Well, I'm gone to see the King. Oh Lord, I need a hand. Oh Lord, I need a hand. Don't be late at those pearly gates. Come on and let me.
Gosh, great to hear that live in Studio A. MC, thanks so much for playing that for us.
Sure.
That was we just heard Jesus Shot Me in the Head and just MC and his guitar here in the studio. Well, MC, thanks so much for stopping by and talking with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
A friend said to me.
That's singer-songwriter, producer, and frontman for His Golden Messenger, MC Taylor. We've been sampling from their fourth album, Poor Moon, today. MC was in town with his band back in July 2012 at one of the nicest, intimate little auditoriums in the Triad, the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art in Winston-Salem. It was part of the Crossroads Concert Series, and you'll find links to more on our website, WFDD.org, and click on Triad Arts Weekend. After this short break, it's time to jump across the Wake Forest University campus to another excellent Winston-Salem venue, the intimate confines of Rinalda House Auditorium. It'll be a live, informal conversation with composer and pianist Kenneth Frizzell and singer-songwriter Laurel Lynn Dossett. They teamed up at Rinalda House to perform the 2010 world premiere of Ken's song cycle, Songs in the Rearview Mirror. Great music making by two outstanding Triad artists, and we're flies on the wall at Rinalda Hall next when Triad Arts Weekend continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Soprano Catherine Findlin will perform Kenneth Frizzell's Songs in the Rearview Mirror on Monday night, March 11th, in Watson Hall on the UNC School of the Arts campus. She'll premiere the work in Carnegie Hall this May. UNCSA faculty Ken Frizzell is one of this country's most important living composers. Back in 2010, he accompanied singer-songwriter Laurel Lynn Dossett in the world premiere of Songs in the Rearview Mirror. Their decades-old friendship and the intense commitments they've both made to this evocative and haunting portrait of the South makes for a truly remarkable performance. I caught up with them in between rehearsals on stage at Rinalda House. Here's part one of our conversation.
The whole time we were living there, Ken was writing. You were working from home then, so I would hear him playing all day long, and so he was making music, and I was making babies. I had three daughters while we lived there.
Let's just do the beginning.
Beginning, okay. It starts off with a piano phrase, but then you can cut into her.
Now, in this case, you get to actually cater this music to Laura Lynn's singing. Talk about some of the things you're thinking about as a composer working through songs in the rearview mirror.
Well, this was a really interesting challenge because there was a kind of dual assignment or dual role to write this piece for Laurel and for this Rinalda House gig and also for the tenor Anthony Dean Griffey. So I did a really interesting thing where I imagined every note that I was writing. First, I would play it through with Laurel's voice, which I studied and listened to lots of recordings and have heard her live many, many times. And then I would play it through and imagine Tony singing it. So it was a little bit of a skitsy thing to do, but it enabled me to come up with, I hope, a very expressive and kind of vernacular feel for the songs, which suits Laurel's voice really well.
You've written for vocalists from Don Upshaw to Odetta, but this kind of back and forth, male-female voice, what did you learn in this process?
Well, I learned a lot about delivery from Laurel and how a song is delivered and how a really great singer in this tradition we're working in will sing things off the page. The notes might not come in exactly to the millisecond that a classical singer would come in, nor would a note end. I mean, Laurel Lynn does these beautiful things where certain notes bloom or they trail off or they sort of bend across the bar line like a great jazz singer would do. And that's really challenging for me because I'm used to notating things in a very specific microsecond kind of way. But I think she brings great beauty to the piece because of this bending of the rhythm.
Green warehouse.
Lynn, how about you from a performance standpoint? What have you come away from this collaboration so far in terms of your own approach to music? You know, anything that's kind of struck you?
You know, I've thought a lot about what I've learned in this process. I've worked harder to learn this piece than I've ever worked on anything in my life. And there wasn't any choice in that. It's a difficult piece for me. The time and, you know, just feeling my way through it is a challenge. I'm used to a bass player going bump, 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 and then I sing, you know, and it's not like that. But that said, once I kind of got inside the music, it's not different than what I do. It's still just telling a story, and I have to trust the material and trust my ability to do it and to tell the story. And right now, my kind of metaphor for it is that I just have to jump in the river and not swim, you know, just go with the current and ride it.
In addition to the shared history, you've got shared roots in the area from which this collection of songs really came. Talk about the road trip.
Well, Laurel and I took a road trip in late June of this past summer, and we had become very absorbed in the photography of William Christenberry. This beautiful show is up at Rinalda House as we speak. And also Walker Evans and James Agee made a very famous road trip to Hale County, Alabama in the summer of 1936. And the photographer Christenberry, whose family is also from that area, started making road trips back since the 1960s. Up until now, he still does this. So when I get involved in these kinds of projects, I really want to get to the bottom of things. And I thought, we should go there. And Laurel was totally up for it. And her family's from there. And we stayed in Birmingham the first night. And they were very gracious to host us. And it really wasn't hard to find most of these places that Walker Evans and Christenberry have immortalized, because this area is so isolated. There's no sprawl. There's the town and a few farm buildings, and then you drive 10 and 15 miles, and there's nothing but red clay and kudzu, where there used to be these incredibly vast cotton plantations. I mean, it's really frozen in the 20s, I would say. And things never got better after the Depression. We literally would just be driving along and slam on the brakes and see these images. I mean, it was really interesting. It was like seeing the great sights of Europe all in one place.
So besides all the beautiful sights of the photographs, we found all kinds of other great stuff too, cemeteries, and that river was so beautiful. Remember those banks?
Yes.
You know, it was just such a great trip, and we talked the whole way. To be honest, probably I talked the whole way. But we told a lot of stories, and I think that is all part of the piece as well.
I really think if I had gone on there alone, I think I would have been overloaded by just looking and using my eyes too much. But it was wonderful that we were sort of telling our own stories and our own lives and past as we were taking the sort of larger journey back to the 30s. It was really a fantastic compression of time. I mean, I'll never forget it. It was really an amazing experience.
We were running.
I know that, you know, on the one hand, there was a road trip and great sights and a really neat trip together, but there are some very deep memories that go back. I know in your case, your father's in that area. Laurelyn, maybe you could speak to that. And also, Ken, for you, just memories of childhood and how that brought him to the fore.
I think the most interesting thing that happened for me in the whole process was that at first I imagined writing songs that related to Walker Evans and James Agee and Kristen Berry. But the more that I looked at these photographs, and especially after the road trip, it became perfectly clear to me that if you replaced cotton with tobacco and replaced Hale County, Alabama with Eastern North Carolina, I have almost exactly the same parallel as Laurel, and I'm one step removed from poor tobacco farmers. And the idea of buildings being abandoned and overtaken by kudzu, which are prominent themes in Kristen Berry, is exactly what you see in Eastern North Carolina with my own relatives. And I have an aunt that abandoned a house that's been completely demolished by kudzu and other creepy things. It also brought me to some very deep and powerful images from my own childhood, some rather dark things about my father and growing up that seemed to be part of the larger story of these places. And it's interesting that Kristen Berry is known for not having people in, I'd say, 95% of his photographs. But I think in songs, I really wanted personal stories. And it's almost like you look at these abandoned buildings and you look at these fields and you imagine and think beyond, you know, in your own life, what kinds of images and stories might fill in these blank stages, and I think that's what happened to me unconsciously.
Part one of my conversation with composer and pianist Kenneth Frizzell and singer-songwriter Laurel Lynn Dossett. Ken's song cycle is called Songs in the Rearview Mirror, and you can hear them sung by soprano Catherine Findlin on Monday night, March 11th, in Watson Hall on the UNC School of the Arts campus. We'll take another short break now and return with part two of our conversation live in Renola House when this special Triad Arts weekend continues. Welcome back to a special all-music edition of Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we're live in performance and rehearsal today with some of our area's most talented performers and finding out about some great local performance venues as well. Time to return to one of them now for part two of my conversation with composer and UNCSA faculty Kenneth Frizzell and singer-songwriter Laurel Lynn Dossett, live in Renola House Auditorium in Winston-Salem.
You're painting in sound images from your past or images from this region. He's taking photographs of homes and trying to evoke what goes on inside the homes. There's a parallel there in what you're doing musically, it seems like.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I think songs are a great way to compress time, you know, into 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. You can hopefully tell a very vast story, as you can with the split second of a camera. One of the things that I want to do most of my life is write an opera, but I feel like, in a way, that the compression of emotional energy and landscape and longing and memory in these pieces is actually very operatic. It's just in a more compressed space of time.
Well, then I wanted to ask you, because as a songwriter yourself, how does that background, if at all, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, impact your approach to this performance and how you think about writing?
I think that being a songwriter myself gives me a greater appreciation for what Ken has accomplished here, because, you know, songwriter is probably not a grand enough word for what Ken is and does, but he and I are songwriters, basically. And when you are really trying to do that well, the goal is to work with an open heart and connect with your listener, you know, connect with your community. And he's really done that in a really beautiful way with some really difficult material. So I think that because I know him, because I know the photographs, because we went on the trip together, and because I know what it takes to tell a story in a song, I may get it at a deeper level than a singer who's not also a songwriter would get it. Does that make any sense?
There was one point early on where it was one of the more personal songs about something in my own past, where Laurelyn just started singing it, and I just burst into tears because it sounded like Laurelyn. And that might sound very simple and obvious, but I felt like I'd really achieved something when it sounded like Laurel, and she wasn't counting notes off a page. She was using her voice to embody the meaning of the song. And when those moments happen, it just, that feels like some of the greatest stuff that happens to me as a composer. When you feel like a performer can use this blueprint to really tell you something.
Haunting musical portrait was the descriptor for this work. Can I call it a song cycle?
It's definitely a song cycle because it is intended to convey a kind of journey weaving back and forth between three or four different time periods. And they were arranged in a very specific order to convey a very multi-layered story.
Okay, so maybe this is too simplistic. I'm sure there's joy and laughter amidst this, but I'm just curious to know what your take is on this. We hear this word all the time, haunting. It's almost like when I've run out of way to describe something. It was hauntingly beautiful, but a haunting musical portrait. What is haunting to you, and how do you bring that out in some of the gestures in the music?
To me, haunting is a good thing. It implies that places are inhabited by memories and spirits of people that are gone, and getting to certain feelings that maybe pictures can't. I think there's something you can do in sound, even beyond words. When you start combining words and music, there's a whole, it's not just music plus words, there's a whole new synesthetic kind of almost cosmic thing that can happen in the best places. I mean, it can take you to places that are haunting or ephemeral or transcendent if you're lucky, you know.
Composer, pianist, and UNCSA faculty Kenneth Frizzell and singer-songwriter Laurel Lynn Dossett live in Rinalda House Auditorium on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Part road trip, part reflection on photography, and part childhood reminiscence, Ken's piece Songs in the Rearview Mirror is an evocative and haunting portrait of the South through song. You can hear it sung by soprano Catherine Findlin on Monday night, March 11th, in Watson Hall on the UNC School of the Arts campus in Winston-Salem. You'll find links to more about the music, the concert, and the performers at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. From art song to indie pop that won't make you cringe, That's one recent self-description by members of the Mount Airy band Janus 414.
Paula, come on. What the hell is going on? Just talk on the phone.
It's a pretty humble assessment, especially given their stellar reviews by Relish Entertainment Weekly, and WebcutsMusic.com says their songs are, quote, well-crafted, harmony-rich treats, almost as if years were spent studying the classics to a fine art, end quote. Their infectious melodies and real people charm make their way to the Triad often, and you'll find links to their performance calendar at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Janus 414 singer and rhythm guitarist Chad Barnard and lead guitarist, keyboardist, and vocalist Shane Mock spent some time live in Studio A back in May of 2012.
He writes pop songs and he adds pop plus metal even for punk. There's something about, because our drummer plays in metal bands, he has that natural inclination to push things and drive a little more, and I think that Chad's poppy melodies combined with our drummer's just edge, and I've just kind of put my guitar to fit right in the middle of those two, and it has that kind of punk aspect to it. I mean, I've told people, we never thought, hey, we'd turn to a punk band, but all of a sudden we listen to our songs, and they're all 2.5 minutes long, and a lot of just driving, punky feel to it. And it's just the result of the four of us putting our stuff together. Our musical backgrounds all collide and have this kind of faux punk.
It's neat when you get that faux punk. You know, there's a new band or a tune, faux punk. I'm going to write that one down. But it's neat when it's organic like that because it's your sound. I mean, it's just Janus 414. You can call it whatever you want, but it's a neat mix.
It was so funny because when we were recording and I was knocking off a lot of the acoustic tracks because I play acoustic, even though we play loud, fast music, I'm playing acoustic the whole time. And I play it real percussive and real rhythmic because most bands, like the drummer, will focus in on the bass player. But in our band, the drummer focuses a lot with me because I'm doing a lot of accents that it only feels right if he kicks in the same time with me. And it was funny, Mitch was like, you know, there's a skill there. You're doing something I've never seen. I don't know why you would choose to play like that, but it's pretty impressive. And the reason I had was because for 10, 12, 13 years, I wasn't playing with anybody. So I was just in my room by myself on acoustic guitar playing songs, and I had to be my drummer. I had to be the different stuff. That's how my style evolved.
And I dated one of them at an IQ of 3.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Mitch. What do you pick up from a guy like that in terms of, I mean, he obviously produced some of your idol. I mean, we're talking about REM was definitely an influence. And
Pavement,
another one. What are some of your takeaways from that working with Mitch?
He just has a huge knowledge. I mean, yeah, we could have done this album and tried to self-record it, and it would have, I think the songs would have carried, but adding a producer and someone especially as knowledgeable as him, it just, like on Unspoken, it's the middle of our album, it's the slow song on our album. He was like, oh, you know what you need on this? You need this Echoplex.
Oh, yeah, the echo.
You need to take this Wurlitzer, which is a, you know, an organ-based instrument. We need to hook it through an Echoplex and then run it through an old 40 speaker that people used to have in their families when they listened to the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll mic that.
Actually, it was a Watkins copycat for you nerds.
Oh, okay. And so it was just, we would have never thought of that. And the effect that it gave it to the song, it took the song to a whole other place it would never have went.
She called it quits. I said that.
Now, just talking about music makes you want to dig in and hear some. Well, let's hear a cut as long as you all are here in Studio A.
Okay.
Let's hear Second Chances.
Started, nothing said, but I don't want to wait no more. Smoldered fingers, that's what you get. I'm holding on to love too long. So I got no time for regrets and second chances. Things keep changing, I know it's hard, feeling so out of control. Years have shown us we're not that smart, and I don't wanna be alone. So I got no time for
red sign. Second chances are spent, but I warn you, chances are this could all go wrong. You'll hate me and I'll hate you. And if it does, I think we'll both agree. I'll find someone new. You'll find someone too. Taking chances, I've blown a few, ending face down on the floor. We're starting over, that's nothing new. Take it as it comes from now on. So I got no time for regrets and second chances. I spent, but I want you.
Janis 414 is singer and rhythm guitarist Chad Barnard, lead guitarist, keyboardist, and vocalist Shane Mock, bass player Ben Swanson, and drummer Monty Hall. You can hear the Mount Airy-based band live in concert throughout the Triad, and you'll find links to their performance calendar at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Well, that's all for today's special Live in Studio A edition of Triad Arts Weekend. Our technical producer is Eddie Garcia, and our associate producer is Bethany Chafin. Visit us on our website, WFDD.org, click on Triad Arts Weekend, and you can find out about upcoming concerts by all of today's guests. Send us your questions and comments. We'd love to hear from you. Our email is triadarts@wfu.edu, and you can always follow us on Facebook. I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.